fighting for America.
The Republican Party is in this big, massive civil war. It's Tea Party versus establishment, libertarians versus social conservatives. There's infighting, conflict, backbiting, discord.
Fighting for Idaho.
I don't want to scare people, but waves of terrorism, stuff that we've never seen or heard before by small groups, much like Paris, I'm very worried about it, and I'm very worried about an incredibly porous border.
Fighting for you.
Thank you for having this great show on in the morning, because without it, we wouldn't have any real conservative voice out there on the radio.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Like me, friend me, and we'll have a great time together.
Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you. Thank you all for joining us. Phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. You can always follow me on Twitter, Kevin Miller Show. And we encourage you to check out 580KIDO.com. Lots of great blogs and other issues of the day. What happens on the program? I was trying to think of anything that's action and excitement oriented. What happens on behind the scenes here? You name it, that's at 580KIDO.com. And of course, that's at Facebook as well. Joining us now is Bill Glenn. He's the co-founder of the USA Association, which is a conservative premier members benefit organization for all ages, and that talk about investments in the economy. And Mr. Glenn, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Good to have you with us. So everybody wants to make money. Is it still possible to make money in America these days?
Depending on how much you want to make, right? If you want a job these days, you get a part-time job, and it's included in the job numbers. Although you're making $100,000 last year, now you're probably making 60 or 80 because you got laid off, and now underemployment is rampant in the country. And so, boy,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but how can unemployment be up in the country when the unemployment rate's at historic levels?
Yeah, there's a lot. Listen, as you know, the fundamentals do not support where the stock market is at all. It's one of the big bubbles that I see. And two, underemployment, one. Two, the lost generation that never were included in the unemployment numbers, like all those college grads over the last 10 years. I mean, they're starting families later. They're building the career ladder later. I mean, we've got a stall coming up in even the next generation. And on Earth, did you know that there's about 3 billion people that want a job, and there's 1.3 billion jobs out there? Imagine that, 1.7 billion people without hope that will never have a real job. That's a big problem.
Well, and so if they pulled the wool over the press, I mean, where's the coverage of this? I totally agree with you on this issue. I think that's one of the great travesties, that we don't have an accurate jobs report, and then you have people, sir, that are working two or three jobs still not making what they made 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, what would be interesting is where credit card debt was and where it is now. I mean, you have, pretty much a flat, retail season in general. And then last year, numbers aren't all that fantastic. But I would love to see what the credit card debt has done in the last couple of years, because I think people are milking their credit cards just to, keep above water. And these underemployed, man, how much disposable income have they lost, coming into our economy?
You think it's terrible. Gotten back to the days where people were, going back to the credit card, the movement of paying things off is over?
Well, we're not a savings nation. Like, Japan is a savings nation. We're reactionary to global events, obviously. We're reactionary, and until we hit a wall on our debt, we won't react properly without the political courage. We're reactionary to the point where we over-leverage ourselves and drain our bank accounts, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my gosh. But at the same time, people are clawing and scraping. I don't know anybody. And I can't believe who they're interviewing. I don't know one person who thinks things are better right now. I don't know one, and I know a lot of people. There's just not one. They think the stock market's good, but Smarty Pants is out there. They know that this is a place where the stock market absolutely should not be, given all the things going on around the world too. By the way, think of the chaos that is lurking out there. we don't even think of what, you know, what if someone came in and started gadding down people in a mall? How would that hurt retail? Right? I mean, these guys are smart. We underestimate our enemy. I mean, it will hit our shores.
Well,
it's just a matter of when.
Right, and before we get to that, let me ask you a question. When we talk about our economy, how in the world can we look at the stock market blowing up and doing historically well, and yet the unemployment is where it's at, and we have the Fed printing funny money, and it's almost as if we shouldn't worry about debt. Now, tell that to Chase, MasterCard, or Discover, and they'll haul you to the hoosegow.
Yeah, I tell you what. The full faith of the United States government, and as you know, faith in the debt obligations that contained mortgages, right, that nearly throw 3 hours away from a global economic meltdown, when, not if, when the world, who owns about half our debt, the rest of it we own interagency, by the way, and which means that Rick Perry was right, Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. And what happens if Russia or someone starts unloading our debt? It would be like, you know, A Wonderful Life, the Bailey Bank and Trust, and there's no one with another bag full of money to bail us out at the end. You know, it's a confidence game. Confidence has been lost in our political courage. Here's what I always say. We're bankrupt, right? Politically, morally, socially, and economically, period. And our country's in decay. We're in apathy here. And here I am, 46 years old, and I'm mortified. And when I look around me and think, this is the country I live in. What happened? What happened to 20 years ago? Oh my! I wake up and I'm thinking, I gotta get off Fox News. I'm a junkie, and I literally have to go through withdrawal because I get so pissed off watching that stuff.
Well, no, I'm with you. I'm a talk show host, and you and I, sir, are the same age. And you take a look at where America was when we were in our 20s, and we look at the 20-somethings today with not the same opportunities that we've had, and you wonder what it's going to be like 20 years for us when our generation, you know, looks at Social Security and probably won't be there.
Well, here's my opinion. So if you remember Herman Cain, you know, like I said, my neighbor, going out with 999, right?
Yeah.
So 999. And I said, you know what? 000. Think of the revolution in America. If we had one national sales tax, everyone pays. I don't care if you're an immigrant, you know, earned benefits, unearned benefits, everyone pays. Our tax coffers would swell. More disposable income, more things buy. Now, we don't have capital gains, corporate, or personal income tax. We just have a national sales tax. Do you think these companies would outsource jobs? How many trillions of dollars would pour into our economy because we're the most tax-advantaged nation on earth? Oh, my, that would be a revolution in the history of America. And if we don't do something utterly massive to change our course, where we do not have the political courage to do so, we are going to hit a brick wall. I'm surprised we haven't hit a pretty substantial brick wall already, but it's imminent because they won't change the way our country works. It's horrid.
Well, what's the impact when we hit the brick wall on folks in Idaho?
Oh, gosh. I mean, as beautiful as I was put in a headlock outside of your train station out there by some of my partners that are in your community. And I think Idaho is a little bit different because Idaho is far more conservative than, let's say, the rest of the nation. But I don't know who's going to bail us out, right? I don't know what's going to happen. I think that it will have a global economic issue. Now, I'm on a council with 4-star generals and, you know, former heads of nations and current ones. And the goal of that council is global economic security. We're number one in the world in cybersecurity, right? And something goes wrong. I don't know if it's ISIS, you know, terrorism. It could be, you know, war, lack of potable water, large-scale cyber attacks. The net of it is there's so much that's delicate today. That web that we've woven around the world, any little thing like Greece, an infinitesimal economy, can cause havoc, you know, across the world. We have withdrawn our leadership on Earth from the rest of the world, and look what's happened. without the foresight that, without our leadership, we invite global economic and otherwise militaristic issues here, right at home, and no one gets it. That's horrid, too.
No, I'm with you. And, you know, so how do you explain what's happening in Russia? Many people think that we've colluded with the Saudis and everyone else to bankrupt Russia again. Could that happen to us? And do you go along with that's why gas prices are so historically low?
Well, two things there. One, gas prices will not remain low. They conditioned us to, you know, accept $3+ gas. So they're not going to try to recondition the consumer at $2 gas. Trust me on this. Gas prices will go up. Russia, they're hurting. But remember, they've got a captive audience for their energy in Europe. So they're not out of the game by any stretch, right? And they're hurting. It's hurting certain people. But their economy is touching along. They're much more resilient than we think. And Putin, well, he's a leader. You know, he's got, you know what, kahunas, and he wants to. He remembers when we kicked them when we were down, when they were down before, and we did kick them. Now they're up because of the oil and whatnot. And you know what, the U.S. will be, regardless of what anyone thinks, the largest exporter of energy in the next 10, 12 years. So I don't, you know, if Russia, though, think of this, global economic war. If Russia unloaded our debt and said, screw it, you guys are boycotting me, I'm going to start selling your debt off. Now, therein is our Achilles heel, right? That is our biggest national defense issue, our indebtedness. And they don't have to fire a bullet. All they have to do is just say, I don't have any faith in the U.S. Imagine that, what that would do around the world.
What about the Chinese, then? If the Russians own us, certainly the Chinese are ahead of them.
Oh, yeah, they are. But put Japan and Brazil way up there, too. They own a ton of our debt. But, again, most of the debt, more than 50% of the debt, is owned interagency. That means you and I and the American people own our own debt, right? So it's using our money and giving us IOUs. Same with the rest of the world. Now, we believe the world is so interwoven that these countries won't go after their own currency exchanges, and they won't go after their own currency reserves, and that they won't go after their own, you know, their own economies and just unload some U.S. debt. That's imminent. And that's when we hit a wall, because then we can't even, as you know, finance our own government, because we can't without borrowing more money. It's sickening.
Well, we're just full of good news today. We'll talk about solutions coming up. We'll talk about solutions coming up next. Kevin Miller in the morning, Bill Glenn with us. Let's get some phone calls, 580-5436. Time for traffic.
D&B Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Bill Glenn with us, author, best-selling book, Left on Red. He's founded a bunch of companies, helped build and invest companies that have raised over $1 billion. Talking about money today. Bill, we've got some phone calls for you. You want to take some? Bill? All right.
Bring it on. I'm here.
All right. Let's go to the phones. We go to Patriot Ray. Good morning. You're on 580 KIDO. Hello, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Bill. It's glad to hear you on the radio.
Thank you.
Absolutely right. As soon as the gas prices went down and you get more and more talk about, okay, we're going to raise tax on gas now, our local legislators talking that already, and when they come into session, this is going to be a main deal for them because they want more money to help with the roads and everything else they say, but yet, They're not doing anything else to help to save money. It seems like every time Congress, local or federal, get an opportunity to raise something, they absolutely do it as soon as they can. So we just need to be vigilant and keep on top of it and let our legislators know we're not satisfied with that. But we appreciate what you're saying and how it's going about what you're saying.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, Patriot Roy, we appreciate that. Let's go to Terry in State College, Pennsylvania at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for being on Kevin's
show. Good morning.
Thank you very much.
It's a great morning to hear Kevin. It is every morning. Bill, I have a question for you. About 4 months ago, I was listening to Dr. Jim Willis, and he was talking about the oil industry. He made a comment that the main well in Saudi Arabia is pumping 65% water, and I thought, well, that's very odd. Then about a month ago, I had learned that the CIA station chief in Riyadh gave a well-concocted pile of BS to the Saudis, and they started pumping salt water in their main well, which brought the oil up much, much easier for them. And the problem, so that's one of the reasons for the oil glut. And at that point, they cannot stop pumping that oil because the water will, in fact, contaminate the oil. Do you know of any of this?
Well, now the world market may get some oil from the Saudis and the Middle East. Here at home, we only get 12% of our oil from the Middle East, 22% from Sub-Sahara Africa, and mostly 60% from, you know, ourselves in Canada. So, you know, from the misconception, A, about that, and two, you know, the glut, I mean, you've got, you know, black market oil coming out of ISIS, and you've got Russia trying to pump out some cheap oil because they have to. That's the kind of glut, really. Saudi can't put enough oil on the market to cause the rates to go down so much. But, you know, this OPEC can artificially inflate the barrels of oil, as we've all seen in the past. So, I mean, I'm just saying that it's consumer focused. They won't allow us to get used to low gas prices when they've already allowed us to get used to high gas prices. I mean, that's business for them. I just see this going up pretty aggressively here shortly.
Well, of course, and, you know, when you consider the fact how high ideal for our politicians, oh, great, now they can afford a gas tax, a road use tax. How many taxes can they pile on top of this? And then, of course, we, the consumer, are going to be at the far end when the gas prices do go ballistic with these additional taxes. Hey, welcome to America, I guess. Bill, thank you for being on. We appreciate your insight. Kevin, thank you very much. You have a good day.
All right, Terry.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. We go to Pro-Life at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hello. Yeah, this is one of the better guests you've had. And
Well, thanks for the review and comment.
Anyway, Bill, do you think the world central bankers are trying to put us into a world currency?
Not yet. I think eventually, as you saw Russia and China and others make a move to replace the U.S. currency as the standard, I think that the world has already lost confidence in the full faith in it. Timothy Geithner went to China on some trip a couple years ago, and he said, oh, the full faith in the United States government. They heckled him. And so people have already lost confidence in our political courage and our ability to pay the debt that we already have. It's just a matter of time before that all comes home to roost. And I think there's plans behind the scenes for certain. And, you know, the liberal progressive agenda here, dismantling our capitalist society, is just going to further that cause, speed it up. I just know we're a reactionary economy. We won't do something massive enough until we hit that wall. Do I think these guys are, you know, collaborating behind the scenes on something like that? Absolutely, I think they are. Can they implement it? I don't know. That would take a long time and a lot of brain damage to do.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Great call there, Pro-Life. And we go to TPP, Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot, with our friend Bill Glynn. Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Just a quick question, something I've been working on, is the petroleum industry added about $400 billion to our economy in the past few years, and this had to do with a lot of the exploration and a lot of the new gas and oil that's been found. But what's going to happen when they start laying all these people off, they start turning all these wells off, we're going to see a very big turnaround, as you've been talking about, in our prices of our gasoline, because these prices are not going to stay low for a long time. My guess is maybe 9 to 12 months. What do you think about that?
I would say sooner than that. The last thing they want us to do is get used to these new gas levels. I mean, that's just from the economic perspective. You know, I think, you know, think of the hand of God, right, being wielded upon America with, once again, a glove say that if we could become the world's largest exporter of natural resources, natural gas and oil, that would be, again, something that should revolutionize our debt position and whatnot, although I don't think these guys can get out of their own way. But ultimately, even if the United States is fracking and even if the United States is extracting, you know, it is more expensive to do it that way. Technology will find a way to cheapen the cost. I think overall that, you know, in the United States, I think we could see a revolution, and I think we could see a massive influx of jobs, actually just maybe the opposite. But I don't think that we've got the courage in D.C., and I don't think we have the political will to do the right things. I think we're, you know, I am so frustrated. I have to actually get off Fox News sometimes because I am a junkie and I get so aggravated. My wife's going to throw me out of my house. So
you're better than me. You just get aggravated. I'm starting to throw my slippers.
Oh, well, listen, get a bag of foam bricks. It's beautiful. It helps you out.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, TPB, we appreciate it. Bill, anything else that you'd like to share with us, what we should be looking out for?
Well, you know, there's so much out there. I'd be looking out, if on the positive side, at defense stocks and also at stocks that specialize in, you know, security for networks. I believe there's going to be $1 trillion or more pouring into that particular space, right, because cyber warfare is the new Y2K, right? Now it's way up on the radar screen. And, you know, like I mean, I serve in a council. We're number one. I've got 4-star generals in the world in cybersecurity. So we know global economic security is a massive issue. Stock market shouldn't be there. That's a bubble, you know, so watch out for that. You know, some interesting things that I'm involved with are these toxic titans. Do you remember, I mean, in our lifetime, we saw the tobacco industry. Remember that when they got sued and they, from people who got cancer,
right,
that were warned, smoked, they got sued for like $10 billion. I mean, you know, for $900 billion and they lost. And a widow just won like hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, because her husband smoked, he was warned, and she sued Philip Morris. So here's what's going to happen. With all the chemicals that these companies have slipped into our consumer products, you know, both products, companies, and chemicals, go home tonight and, you know, take the toxictest.com. Just go there and look at the chemicals in your products. Watch out for the chemical industry and watch out for the products companies, because people are really upset right now to have found all this stuff in the products in their home every day. That is going to cause an upswell. Boy, these guys, yeah, I think that's another industry that's going to get a huge wave of lawsuits put up against it. So watch those stocks for sure.
Well, Bill, we appreciate it. You have a good day, and we'll have you back.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Good morning to Boise's constitutional patriot, Mr. Kevin Miller. Thank you very much for doing what you're doing.
Earning your trust every morning.
Thank God it's
Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Thank God it's
Friday. And it is Friday. We appreciate everybody listening. And we are waiting for Tanya J. Powers to join us from Fox News Radio. We are back to the phones. We go to Liberal Steve at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Kevin Miller. Good morning, Idaho. The governor's got to remember, it's not a red state. Not a red state. Otherwise, we wouldn't vote. You mix red, you mix blue, and you get yellow. And that's what the air is like right now. But the nation is moving forward. The administration's got gasoline, diesel, natural gas, LP lower than it's been in such a long time. Jobs are climbing. Corporations are moving back to America. China and Russia are on the run. And the libs are coming out of the closet.
Well,
so we are.
Did you miss us? Did you miss us while you were in Ireland?
Hey, do you miss fishing when the ice is too thick to drill?
I don't know.
You're not a fisherman, Kevin Miller?
No.
Well, Jesus was a fisherman.
No, he was a carpenter. He hung out with the fishermen.
I just want to say, you stay fired up. Idaho, stay fired up. We are on the road, moving forward. Things are going to happen.
So Idaho will become a lib haven.
Not necessarily. I don't want a bunch of liberal steeds running around. I want, you know, a few, but...
You don't want more of your ilk?
No, because if everybody's thinking the same, Mr. Miller, like Bob, nobody's thinking. You stay fired up. It's great to be back in America.
It's good to have you back,
hey,
liberal steed.
I got a couple of euros for you, dude.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Liberal Steve joining us. The only way we can top that is Tanya J. Powers from Fox News Radio. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. You know, I would have been with you earlier, but I'm trying to hoard my styrofoam before it's all outlawed and, you know, gets hauled out of here.
You know, thank God we live in America. I mean, here in Idaho, I don't know about you all there in New York. I mean, first soda, now this, and they wouldn't do that in the South, that's for sure.
No, you would have to pry it from their hands. You're right about that. It would not go over well everywhere, and it may not go over well here with some people.
Well, what's the deal? Now we're banning styrofoam containers. All of a sudden we're concerned about the environment?
Yes, this is actually kind of a holdover. It was an initiative that was started by Michael Bloomberg when he was mayor, and Mayor de Blasio's administration says, okay, we'll go ahead and, you know, fulfill this and get rid of the polystyrene or styrofoam containers. And it's not just the containers, though. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, concerned about their to-go orders being cold, but it's also the packing peanuts, you know, the styrofoam packing peanuts.
How are we going to live without them?
I know. Well, I was suggesting marshmallows in their place, but things could get a little sticky when you ship stuff. But I really think the marshmallow, you know, growers of America should get on that. And no, I know that they're not grown. But the good part is you can still get packages with them into the city. So
right.
They're not going to, like, stop at the county line and paw through your FedEx stuff. So if you wanted to, you know, send a present to somebody in New York City, you can just fill it right up there with the packing peanuts.
Right. So if people listening would like to send you a present. You would prefer marshmallows, though.
Well, yeah. Yeah, or a mix of the two, yeah.
I see. Is there any opposition to this? Is there any outrage? I mean, there's always outrage in America, in New York.
Oh, of course, yes, because I think that's like the national hobby up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people aren't real happy because it is going to, you know, mean different to-go containers. It also could mean more money. Because, you know, if they've got to buy, you know, different containers that could cost more, it may, you know, cost your food a little bit more than the bottom line. The other thing in that is there are some businesses and nonprofits that may not have to go along with this. If you have a business or a nonprofit and you make less than $500,000 in revenue per year, you could actually get an exemption for this. You could say, hey, it's a financial hardship for me to, you know, change all this in my business, and they may let you buy with that.
Well, I can't let you buy without asking your prediction if we don't talk to you on Monday. And, you know, you being a native Southerner, I mean, football, biscuits, sweet tea, chicken, all that stuff is in your blood. So
yes.
Even though the SEC is not in the big game, Bucks or Ducks?
Oh, well, you know, I'm going to have to go with the Ducks.
Wow.
Yeah, because of the the complete, you know, attic cleaning they did the other day on FSU. I don't think they're done. I think they're gonna go again.
Well, the South and the West, I get that. It'd be tough for you to root for a Yankee team.
Well, you know, like you said, I don't really have a dog in the fight, but if I had to pick, that's who I'd pick.
Tanya, you take care. Tanya J. Powers, thank you, ma'am.
Sure.
All right, there we have it. Tanya J. Powers picking the Ducks. Monday we'll talk a little bit more about that here. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Don't forget our friend Dave Petzl will be with us on Monday, giving us news about your money from the Petzl Center. Let's get you to work, huh?
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I would encourage the legislature certainly to listen to the superintendent and her concerns. I want them to listen to my staff and our concerns about not going moving forward.
There we have it. The governor yesterday getting ready for, well, to be sworn in today and then the state of the state on Monday. I know a lot of people are fascinated and fixated on what the budget will be. We'll hear from the governor from his clips, courtesy of our friends at Channel 7. But before that, there is a couple statements that I'd like to get your take on. And number one would be,
we're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America. Let's stay that way. Thank you.
Now, the governor said that after he was elected to a historic third term. Governor Otter saying we're the reddest of the red states. As you examine and take a look at your goals for 2015, I think we'll find out. I think we're going to find out just how conservative the country is, how conservative Idaho is. You know, I was telling you, and look, thanks to our friends Steve Ackerman, TPB from the Gem State Patriot and others, you know, we've been on this for quite some time about the possibility of raising a gas tax. The governor addressed that need and possibility yesterday.
I started at 7, and I went to 2, 5, and then I went to 2. I got nothing, and gas was $1.39 a gallon.
That was the last time that the governor got behind the gas tax. Look, the governor is no fool, and he just puts out the need. It's up to the legislature to make the run in it. Now, will the folks that you elected, your state representatives, your state senators, say, well, I mean, $1.39 a gallon? Now, those are some good fiscal conservatives that voted no on this. But will, and what is the state, 80% Republican? The Republicans that you elected decide to stay the course and say no new taxes. We talk about a user fee tax. Can there be one that has a more detrimental impact on our economy than pain at the pump? And like Bill Glynn pointed out, I mean, they've conditioned us to accept the pain at the pump. They've conditioned us to accept $3 a gallon. And I believe that it won't last. I wish that it would. Dave Petzl and I have gone back and forth. What would happen if Keystone came open, if we had an energy policy that was consistent and was positive for us here in America? My thoughts and prayers go out to people, and I'm not saying that to pander to anybody, to those people that are the landscapers or the snow plowers, when we get snow, we don't have any rain plowers yet, that, you know, people that drive, that commute, that, you know, that love their home. You know, a lot of folks work in Mountain Home at the base. It shouldn't be so painful to fill up for gasoline, right? But it is. And now we've got the greedy, grubby politicians on both sides of the political spectrum, those in Congress saying, now's the time to strike, yee-haw! And the state of Idaho considering it. But you notice, the governor just calling it like it is.
I started at 7, and I went to 2, 5, and then I went to 2. I got nothing. And gas was $1.39 a gallon.
He did talk about the need.
Deferred maintenance is deficit spending. That we have to maintain our infrastructure. It's so critical to not only our economic growth, but our health and safety on the highways in Idaho.
Let's go to the phones and hear from you. We go to Mark in Boise with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Real quick, you know, where I live, you drive some of the back roads around here, Highway 44, State Street, going between, let's say, Boise to Middleton. There's places where you can't see the lines in the road. I believe that we do need to do something about our roads, especially, you know, Highway, what is the one going north to Cascade, Highway 55. Here's my suggestion. If the legislature and the governor wants to do this, what you do is you make it retroactive. You say, okay, we're going to raise the gas taxes, folks, on you, but if the price per gallon goes up to, let's say, 2.25, 2.50, set a limit, it becomes retroactive. In other words, you stop it, the gas tax gets removed, and put that in the bill. So, yes, I do believe we've been giving it to the damned oil companies. We've been giving it to the suppliers, the retailers here. Yeah, let's put some of that money back into the state to get our darn roads fixed up here. But if it hits a certain price that we can all agree to, then you remove that tax. What do you think about that idea?
I think makes a lot of sense, unfortunately.
No, it never happened.
They're going to go, well, we can't do that. We're going to get in trouble.
It has to be in the bill. It's got to be written in the bill and agreed by the legislatures and presented to the public in that matter. That's my suggestion. Did you get my voicemail, by the way, Kevin?
I'm looking at the blinking light right now.
Please do. I'll let you go. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right, Mark. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We appreciate that. We go back to the governor. Governor, good morning.
Thank you, and good morning.
All right. I just love those clips. Anyway, 858, 33 in Star. Let's get you to work safely. And I'm Kevin Miller here, wishing you and yours the very best when it comes to the weekend and everything else. Really appreciate you being with us each and every morning. And like we talked about with Bill Glenn, sometimes it is tough to get fired up, to get motivated, because you listen to the radio. Heck, I talk on the radio. So our goal is to give you, you know, the challenges, but something a little different, solutions. And that's where you come in. It's a participatory process. Maybe some people don't vote, but we expect you to be with us, because together we all have a greater chance, right? Good day. God bless. Keep the faith.